are from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Beth. It's good to see you both.
Good seeing both of you.
Doing mentally well today.
Yes. Yes. Beth has her microphone muted. I think she was laughing and saying something really insightful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Beth has...
I didn't unmute myself again.
She... she wanted to surprise everyone with a grand entrance.
Ta-da! It's like one of those the curtains open and all that cool stuff.
Do you ever watch The Game Changer, which is on the Dropout channel that used to be College Humor, I think? The game. It's a comedy game show, and it's a group of like three. They have like three contestants each time, and it's three people, comedian, improv people.
Oh.
And the game show, like, it changes every time. They have to play the game to know how to play, and it's usually really funny. But when he first will introduce each contestant, and then he'll say, "And I'm Sam Reich." And then he says, "I've been here the whole time."
Oh, wow.
That's really funny.
My brother sent a news article to our sibling group chat, and it just happened to be written by that guy's dad, and we didn't know. But my younger brother told us, "You know that article you just sent, Ben, that was written by Sam Reich's dad." And I wrote back, "Was it Sam Reich's dad the whole time?" But yeah, anyway,
that's great.
How we doing, you guys? Hanging in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Tim, how's your week been?
Yeah, I'm hanging around. You know, I was joking before this that I already said the leapfrog jumping thing, so I had to come up with something. And hanging around, that, you know, that sounds really good.
That's counting crows.
Yes. Yes. Wait. What crows?
I think the band Counting Crows has a song called "Hanging Around."
Oh, really? Oh, wow!
Down on the corner.
I'm gonna have to check that song out now. This is very exciting. So, let me see. Well, first, I really enjoyed Jessica's baby shower. It was so cool, and like all these people were there, and like I got to decorate one of the letters. It was like an M, and I'm like, I can't think of anything like an animal, nothing that starts with M. And so I just like, okay, well, I'm just going to be creative here. And what was interesting is I found that my M kind of looked like I was crocheting something. I put a bunch of circles around the edge of the M. And then when I got in the middle, I started like creating sort of like strings connecting it all together. And it was like really cool. It makes me like think that I definitely want to make time to go to the crocheting club that we have here on Saturdays, the first of the month. So that was really cool. But yeah, it was just so nice that we could all support Jessica and Amber, and like they had so many like baby shower gifts and stuff. That was so exciting. And I loved how like everybody was like cheering when you got like something that was like out of the ordinary or surprising and stuff. And so, yeah, it was just a really celebratory time. And I'm really glad that I could make it. And there was a bunch of like stuff on a platter that nobody could take home. And they're like, "Oh, hey, Tim, maybe you could take this." And it was a bunch of like carrots and celery and ranch. And then there were like two little sandwiches. It was sloppy Joe sandwiches. So I got to take some food home. It was very nice. Good. So what else do I got? So I started reading that book, First Things First, actually. And I was really amazed at what it was talking about. It actually presents something that was coined by President Eisenhower, and it's called the Eisenhower Method. So the Eisenhower method is basically consists of four quadrants when it comes to time management. There's quadrant one, which is important and urgent. And then quadrant two is important, but not urgent. And quadrant three is urgent, but not important. And then quadrant four is not urgent or important. So not urgent and not important. And basically, a person doesn't want to be spending most of their time in quadrant three or four, but you want to be spending most of your time in quadrant one and two, particularly quadrant two, where you're planning and preparing and stuff like that. And I thought this was so fascinating. I'm like, so basically the whole point is to be spending all of our time doing important things. That's essentially what you want to do for time management. If you want to be like,
what I want to do.
Yeah, that's what we don't want to do, you know?
That's why I had trouble. I'm sorry I interrupted.
That's okay. So I thought that was kind of like generally thought-provoking and sort of life-changing in a sense, because if I categorize that on a consistent basis on like what I'm doing, then I could sort of determine what my priorities are really effectively. And it's also kind of opening my eyes for like ordinary things like doing chores or like spending time with like my mom or spending time with my like other family members or friends or people from the church. And like it just feels all a bit more meaningful when I consider like what's important to me as a person. It kind of like has sort of brought my priorities into like a much better viewpoint to where I can actually sort of like feel like I'm doing things more purposely. And like I just I feel like my life has more meaning. So it's been a blessing, honestly. And so then the last point I want to bring up is, so I've been successful on my beard adventures.
Noticed.
So I got this, $20 device, actually. It's like some Philips like shaver tool, and you apparently don't have to put beard oil in it. It just automatically like sharpens itself through some magic or something. And so like basically it's wireless, you just charge it and like it's ready to go. And I put one of those like things to make it so you can shave the hair without shaving too much. I just use it in the mirror every day, and now I'm gonna have like a nice clean beard everywhere I go. It's like so exciting.
Everywhere you go.
And on Monday, we were gonna record the podcast on Monday, but I ended up dealing with the freeway closure problem. So I actually got my hair cut that night. And so now I'm all good. I got my hair cut, and now I'm doing the beard trimming operation. It's very good. So
yeah.
It's like you're a new man, Tim.
Yeah, you know, it's like the Beauty and the Beast. I was the Beast, and now I'm, well, I don't know if I'm the Beauty, but I'm not the Beast anymore. That's for sure.
I think you're the Beauty, Tim.
Oh,
now thanks. Now you're the dad.
Yeah, thanks about the Beauty and being the dad. That's good.
You're very welcome.
Oh man. What about you, Beth? How's this past week been?
Oh, well, I'm not sure if a week has passed or a year, because what's the difference at this point?
Right.
Like Tim, I also enjoyed going to yours and Amber's baby shower, and I loved that your mom was there. And Jessica, you look like your mom. I'm sure you hear that a lot. And I know what I just said, that I loved that your mom was there, but I really loved that your mom was there, because like what she said about being in a room with her daughter who has so much community, like that just,
oh wow,
that's kind of one of the reasons I like to share like some of my online stuff with my mom. Like she's doing the boundaries class, and this is embarrassing for me, but I'll tell you anyway. Our first class was last Tuesday, and I have people meeting in person and people meeting online. And my mom was one online, and I had everybody go around and say why they wanted to take the class. And a lot of the people, I would say like 3/4 of the people said that they're taking the class because they love Beth and they want to support Beth. Aww. I'm saying my name in the third person to separate myself from the compliments. Because it's weird, but I just think it's so cool that like our moms can see that like we're in a good community and we're surrounded by people who love us. And it's my mom lives in South Dakota, your mom lives in Iowa, and I miss my mom every day, and I'm sure that you do too. But I love being able to show my mom that like I'm okay here and I do have a community of people who love me. And
yeah,
so I wish that everybody had that. And
wow. Yeah.
So and your mom seems really cool, Jessica.
My mom is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Also,
the game where we played the moo or boo, that was my favorite game. I love it so much.
How many did you get right?
I think I got 14 right.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. And I knew in my heart of hearts that Amber did not get suspended in first grade, which I was like, not Amber, the best teacher in the whole world. She would never.
And oh, wow.
I'm glad that Amber was able to keep her integrity.
Well, what's funny is that she said that it was when she was 10 that she got suspended.
I was wondering if that was the case, because I was like, they're going to trick us, aren't they? There's going to be some trickaroos.
Trickaroo.
The story was something how she, I think a little boy was bothering one of her friends, and so she kicked the boy between his legs.
Good for her. I mean, sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, she's been an advocate for the underrepresented her entire life.
I love it so much.
Wow. That's awesome. I'm really happy about that.
She has still maintained her full integrity in my eyes. Right.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And other than that, I'm doing my class. I built a roller skate out of Legos.
Whoa.
Legos and Michaels now. And I have another thing that I'm going to make as well. And other than, you know, just trying to hold it together, that's all that's happening. Jessica. Yeah.
What do you have for us, Jessica?
Well, I'm eating pizza right now.
Wow. That's awesome. This is an amazing podcast episode. You can have food on the episode.
Yeah.
No problem.
I had just gotten home, but Amber was nice and made us a gourmet meal. And
yeah,
very gourmet for me. This past week, oh my gosh, it was such a whirlwind. I mean, my mom flew in on Thursday night. And we got home at like 10 something. And then I took work off on Friday. And it was just like, it was really nice to be able to hang out with her on Friday. And Saturday was just going everywhere to kind of get all of the items that we needed and preparing them for Sunday. And the nice thing was the things that we made for the baby shower were fairly simple to prep, you know, and especially the haystacks. Those are very easy to prep. If you're wondering what a haystack is, when you combine marshmallows with butter and Rice Krispies.
Are there needles in there? Needles in the haystack?
We did hide needles in the haystack. So if you are feeling sore,
I haven't found it yet.
You're feeling really sore in your mouth. Then you found the needle.
Or you have strep throat.
Or if you have strep throat. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or if you feel like your esophagus is bleeding, then the needle.
Now I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it was nice. It was, my mom hasn't, I mean, I've spoken of, you know, coworkers, and Amber's, you know, spoken of her coworkers, and we talk about like all these people that we know and our friends that we've built and community we've built. And, you know, my mom's been to the church a couple times, but I think for her to see people who, you know, drove from Burbank, came to the church, like really just, you know, devoted their Sunday afternoon to hang out with us, even if it was for the free food, I don't care. But it was just really, you know, we kind of like just felt so loved. And I think back to when we moved to Leona Valley in 2021, summer of 2021, and we knew nobody. We had just left our apartment in North Hollywood, and we really wanted to be able to establish a home and a place for us to start thinking about raising a family. And you know, obviously it took a lot longer than we, you know, on our time frame, but God's timing was and is perfect. And it's amazing to see, you know, we started going to PUMC, I think in 2022.
Was it towards the beginning of the year?
Maybe the end.
Yeah, because
it might have been the end of 2022 that we started going PUMC. Either way, in that short amount of time, you know, and just in general, the community that we have and the people in our lives that just are, you know, willing to show up for us. I think for us, that was really special. And my mom saw that, and, you know.
Yeah.
And then It took our neighbor, we call her Aunt Kathy. It took her vehicle to help us bring back all of the loving gifts that everyone provided to us. We had so much stuff from everybody, and all of the gifts were so amazing. The books that we got were incredible. And just the outfits were incredible. I mean, everything about that, it was just awesome. And we loved seeing everybody's drawings. I think Jonah drew Sonic and
somebody who else. It might have been Jacob. It feels like something was Jacob there.
No, somebody drew, I swear I thought it was Jonah.
It wasn't, because I was watching him the whole time.
Which
he did not.
He had an alibi.
Yeah.
He drew in Sonic the Hedgehog and Kirby.
I saw that one, actually. Yeah.
Do you know who drew it?
No, I don't know who drew it. But I noticed
it. Jonah on it. This, I swear, this is probably Jonah.
It wasn't Jonah.
I'm just going to write Jonah's name on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to write Jonah's name on it.
Okay. I'll allow it. I've said
anyway,
but.
Yeah. Anyway, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, the warm weather that came around whipped up some awesome allergies. So my once getting back to normal sinus thing is gone. And I am now nasally again.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, I'm doing nasal rinses. Anyways, altogether, this past week was so much fun. I felt very loved. And it made us even more excited about bringing our little child into the world.
Wow.
So we're very excited.
But Jessica, that makes me really happy that you found the community here at Palmdale UMC, and it's just been such a loving experience for you. That is so awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah. But you know what else is amazing? Things that are going on at the church.
Yes, indeed.
Let me tell you.
Yes. I all I can say is yes.
Mainly this Saturday and Sunday, we've got some things coming up. And one of them is on Saturday, the 8th of February. It's the in-betweeners planning meeting. And that's at 5:30 at the Denny's in Lancaster. But please be sure to RSVP to Rick Hill.
Not to Denny's.
Say it one more time.
We're RSVPing to Rick Hill and not to the Denny's. We don't have to reserve at Denny's.
Yeah, you're welcome to call the Denny's in Lancaster and say, can I get a message to Rick Hill? Let them know. Yes. Okay. And then on Sunday, the 9th, I'm really excited about this, but for those that attend the 11 a.m. service, you're going to make sure that, just make sure that you set your alarm a little early, because it's Scout Sunday, and the pancake breakfast is in between services from 10 to 11. So you really want to make sure you participate in that. I'm really excited. I think I read it correctly that the donations for the pancake breakfast are going to the fires for UMCOR.
That is correct.
Oh. Yes. So it's an even more of a, even more of a reason to go. And if you're allergic to pancakes, number one, you'll never be a guest on this podcast, but number
two, you'll never make it in this town.
You'll never make it. Nor will you make it at Denny's in Lancaster. So,
oh my gosh. Talking about Denny's and pancakes is making me want Denny's and pancakes.
I keep saying, that's
good that you're saying, yes, that's a reminder.
Pancake breakfast. So anyways, those are our two days, the 8th and the 9th. We've got some things going on at the church, but we'll go ahead and drop like raindrops into
yes,
Methodist moment.
So, Methodist moment.
It's gonna make me laugh every time. now you can introduce it if you want, Tim.
Yeah. So, I wanted to share some scriptures. One of which is my favorite scripture. I've found out at least over the last few months, as far as just being therapeutic for my spiritual journey. And then another that I discovered a series of verses over this past weekend that I thought was very nice and extremely helpful. So you probably heard me say this scripture on the podcast before, and I mentioned that it was meaningful, but I'm going to try to explain it a little bit better, especially considering it was super helpful for me this past weekend as to why. So I'd like to share Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. I'm quoting from the New Revised Standard Version Updated Edition. For those of you listening, you're welcome to open up any translation that is suitable for you. So the verse goes like this. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. So the reason why this verse in particular is extremely impactful for me is I think I can explain it extremely well with my recent experience this weekend. So I was feeling really overwhelmed with time and just like things that I was trying to accomplish in the day. And I felt like that my time was just escaping me and I was just really unproductive and I just felt super stressed out. And I got to like what I felt like was a breaking point where I just felt like I just couldn't manage it anymore. And so then I'm just like, I give up, I surrender. And then it reminded me of this song called Kathy Burton. Armin Van Buren, I Surrender, featuring Kathy Burton. And she sings the song. It's a trance song, the trance genre music. And it's actually a low-key Christian song. I think the singer is a Christian, but she talks about how the idea that when everything just kind of like either becomes too much or we need to find that meaning and like we give up, then you surrender. And like that was just extremely therapeutic for me. Like I was so like just couldn't manage my stress. And so I just said, I surrender. And I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I think at that point, that's where the verse kind of speaks really clearly. And that's that I was trying to hold on to something and I was losing it, whatever it was. But as soon as I gave everything to God, by surrendering, taking the analogy totally, like losing my life for Jesus' sake, then I felt like I found my place in that moment. Like I felt like I could actually take care of the things that I needed to take care of. And I felt like I could, I looked this up, afterwards, and, basically, when we're in those moments, it's a spiritual surrender. And it's like it's kind of like an epiphany that we're devoting our lives more so to Christ and living out our lives as his disciples. And so, yeah, that's the reason why this is like one of my favorite verses, that just the idea of spiritual surrender being so like helpful and just extremely therapeutic and like just really powerful for a Christian, like to, and it just increases devotion for the Christian life. So for those of you that are maybe struggling with stresses and things, then maybe it's time to just kind of surrender a part of yourself and surrender it to God, and maybe you'll find your way like I did. So the second one I'll make a little bit brief, but it's a longer verse. It's John chapter 4, verse 5 through 15. It goes like this. This is the same translation I mentioned before. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." So I thought that this series of verses was just really powerful. I started reading these because I started going into the Gospel of John, and I got a recommendation from a friend that if I hadn't really gone cover to cover on the Book of John before, then now is as good a time as ever. So, but yeah, what stood out to me on this is that, yeah, it's like we have these things in the world, and we're just constantly going back to them for like some sort of quenching our thirst. But with Jesus, it's so much more fulfilling, and we that thirst that we're looking for in the world goes away. It's like it's just an amazing feeling, and then gushing up to eternal life. It's kind of like looking forward to the afterlife. So I just thought that was really nice. So yeah,
that's great, Tim. I appreciate you sharing that. It's always refreshing to hear, you know, those kinds of verses and to kind of remind us where we need to be going to, other than a refrigerator that does offer free water.
Thank you, Jessica. I really appreciate that.
Paying for that water. If you haven't been,
Oh,
I put a quarter in into the refrigerator.
What?
Fill up my water bottle.
Oh, wow.
To do that? No. Just
sounds kidding. Like you just went to Costco.
I did. And it was several water bottles, and they were all a quarter. Right. But yeah, I thank you for sharing that, Tim. I keep forgetting to give it to God, and then I give it to God, and then I'm like, nope, I'm gonna just take this back a little bit more. I'm not done worrying about it yet. Can I just And then that's been my cycle. So
I think I would do that as well. I can totally relate. And thank you, Beth. I really appreciate that, what you said.
What I've been doing, because I can't stop my thoughts of worrying, is I will turn them into prayers.
And yes, that's wonderful. Yeah, I think that's really...
I just talked to God, and that has been helping.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
Another thing that I would like to share during this Methodist moment is an email that we got from our very own fearless leader, Pastor Jim.
And
yesterday, the subject says thank you, and then it says to the MTTM podcast team, I'm a few weeks behind in catching up with the podcast, so I just listened to the episode where Cordelia was your guest. What a great episode. Kudos all around. I'm so grateful that my weekly sermons generate such in-depth discussion. It was wonderful to hear the four of you talk about ways that the gifts of imperfection spoke to your heart and spirit, and the ways that God has pulled you deeper in your relationships. Thank you for making the time to dive into each week's messages, no matter who is speaking. I know I may not reach top podcast listener status, Kathany Ankeny has that all put sewn up, or even runner-up podcast listener status, looking at you, Nils Larson. But it's great to be part of the MTTM family. Peace, Pastor Jim.
All right. That was awesome. Well, thank you, Pastor Jim. That was Pastor wonderful.
Jim. Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to personally, you guys can shut your ears if you want. This is personally for Pastor Jim.
I have headphones on. I don't know if I can do that right.
Okay. Don't listen, you guys. This is
I won't Pastor listen. Jim. Okay.
I'm just kidding. But you can listen. But Pastor Jim, if you were wondering what people are saying about you when you're not in the room, you should be very
scared. Delighted,
I think. Yeah. No, every conversation that we've had in my boundaries class, when anybody would mention Pastor Jim or like how he's helped us in some way, it's always been, you know, nothing but good things that whenever anybody's talking about Pastor Jim, it's in
It's usually good. So thank you, Pastor Jim.
Thanks, Pastor Jim, for
being you.
Yeah. And I might be able to speak for all of us on this one. I'm not sure, but some of Pastor Jim's messages, his sermons, have just like totally changed my life. Just kind of like in such an impactful, positive way. And so like, yeah, just like basically being like there for us and God and like just sharing all this like wonderful insight and wisdom. It's just like such a blessing. So I'm just so grateful that Pastor Jim is our pastor here at Palmdale United Methodist Church. Like, it's just been so incredible.
Yeah. We're gonna tell California you. You can check in anytime you want, but you can never leave.
Yeah.
Wow. I think, you know, one of the things that I feel a lot of people keep coming back and end up joining the church is because, you know, I feel like he has such an authenticity and servant-like way of approaching and just being a pastor.
Yeah.
You know, he's not trying to impose or push any of his own personal biases on anybody. He's genuinely doing, you know, looking at history, research, multiple perspectives, and he just wants to share, you know, the word of God with people. And the way he does it is so intriguing, and it invites, it just like naturally invites you back and wants you to come back.
Yeah.
And I think that's so special to have when it comes to a pastor. And, you know, cause I think at times there's certain pastors where it's like they end up kind of pushing their own agenda.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on accident, but they end up doing that. And then also, you know, they kind of try to put themselves in a position of, you know, look at me, I make loud noises and I raise my hands really, really high. And they kind of like put on this performance.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Pastor Jim doesn't, well, I guess he is a performer.
He is a performer.
I think he does put on a performance, but he does it without the air of
ego, and
it's not an ego thing. It's a real to relate to us kind of thing, you know?
It's
never like, look at me up here and all of you people down there. I like that, and maybe other people have noticed this, but when he introduces himself every morning, he says, "Hi, I'm Jim and I'm a pastor at this church."
Yeah. Yeah.
I've always noticed that he doesn't introduce himself as Pastor Jim. I feel like he's introducing himself as a person first who just happens to be a pastor at that
church. Right. Right. That's awesome. That's
what he's doing. He's like a people first pastor.
That's cool.
Really thought about it like that, but I guess if you think about it
all the time,
it's not like you're saying, "Hi, I'm children's ministry director Beth."
That's true. Yeah.
No, I'm not. No, but that's because I've always been a people first, because I've been in charge of stuff. And
oh, I'm human Beth.
I noticed that you have that air about you too, Beth, about how you're a person first and then you're the children's
because
ministry director.
I don't know how to do it otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing though.
Human.
Especially for the children, you know, like, what?
Nothing. I'm in my own mental breakdown. It's fine.
But I think that's really good for children in general, because like The children are just being children. So you're like just being a person that just happens to be guiding the children. You know, that's really good.
I've never liked talking baby talk to dogs or babies. And
yeah,
I think part of it is because I think that it's infantilizing a little bit, and that's fine for a baby, I guess. But my dogs are my best friends, so I'm going to talk to them like they're my bros.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I also
exactly
talk a little baby talk to
yeah
them, but I keep it under control.
Yeah. I think it is good to communicate how we feel, like totally natural to communicate with our dogs. Mm-hmm. I think the key is like showing respect to them and like, yeah, they're just like a person, you know. Dogs are people too, as they say.
And yeah, they are. In my house, they are. so I did something the other day that I still feel bad about, and I didn't even lay a finger on my dog. She was barking at me at 4 o'clock. She doesn't eat until 5 o'clock. I wasn't going to let her bark at me. So I usually just turn around and face with my back to her until she stops barking at me. And that didn't work. So she came by the coffee table, and she has this fear where she thinks that inanimate objects that have fallen over are alive, and she'll bark at them. So
no.
Just kept knocking stuff off the coffee table next to her in hopes that she would stop barking. But then I felt so badly because I feel like I just triggered her trauma even more than I should. And so I think this is the day I get canceled for.
No, that's, don't worry about today when tomorrow we're worried.
Tomorrow will worry about itself. That's how I don't remember. Yeah. So don't even knock things over in the general, not on purpose anyway. I did it on purpose. I had malicious intent. But she did run into the other room, and now I just added 10 more years of therapy onto her life.
I'm sure she'll forgive you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about a sermon?
Oh yeah. Oh, before we jump into
we could have so beautifully segued from talking about Pastor Jim and then talking about this week's sermon, but
we don't do that.
No, we're not that kind of podcast. We need to do at least 3 more tangents, and then we can get into it.
Well, I did want to interject something else about Pastor Jim. Then it'll kind of feel more natural. But wait, I just interjected something, and then it just feels totally. Well, what I was going to say is Pastor Jim's sermons are so refreshing, like the content of his sermons. And like, basically, it's not a divisive message. It's actually a welcoming message.
Right.
Whereas other people, like other pastors potentially, I know that they have the right intentions in mind, but they might accidentally push people away. I get the exact opposite with Pastor Jim. Yeah. I feel welcome, and it's just, I feel refreshed. Like I have a new perspective on all these things that he's talking about. It's so cool.
Yeah.
He's not trying to put the fear of God into us, so to speak.
Right. Right.
If anything, it's the love of God into
us. Yes, yes, exactly.
Because we're inspired by Jesus to fear. I mean, love.
Right, right, for sure.
So, one more thing before this does relate it a little bit to the sermon, but I always listen to the sermon at 2 times the speed.
Me too.
I listen to it like right before we do our podcast. And I listen to books at 2 times the speed, but when I listen to podcasts, I listen to those at regular speed because I'm worried that if I listen to everything at 2 times the speed, I'm just going to be annoyed in real time when people are talking too slow. And so I keep one thing at regular speed just so my brain doesn't get annoyed in real life. But I was listening to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and Jesse Eisenberg, is that his name?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Jesse Eisenberg was the guest, and I did not have the podcast at two times the speed, but he talks in two times speed. Yeah. And I kind of wondered what it would sound like playing it at two times the speed when he already talks so fast, but I didn't. I'll do it later. But I thought that was like fascinating. Times. He just talks so fast and I never noticed.
Yeah. And it's like intellectual in-depth things.
Yes. That he's listening.
So it's like,
oh gosh.
I don't know. When I talk about things that are like very deep and very, you know, well, what I consider intellectual, I take my time to process the thoughts and I like slow down my speech. Mm-hmm. But like, he's incredibly.
It's
like,
yeah.
Literally, I feel like he's AI times two. Yeah.
Speed. I love that. I just watched his movie that he just put out called A Real Pain.
Yeah.
With him and Culkin.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So let's talk about the movie instead of the sermon. Just kidding.
What movie?
The movie was put out. No.
It's Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran Culkin play cousins, and their grandmother recently passed, so they go back to Poland to see where she lived.
Oh, okay.
And fun fact, they received financing from the country of Poland for that movie, which is kind of cool.
Wow, that is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyway. Pretty neat.
Speaking of
people. Yeah.
You mean Poland. Speaking of Poland. Of
Poland and pulling your weight as a Christian.
Yes.
Pastor Jim had a brand new sermon series that he started called Torah, Torah, Torah. And it's going through, we went through the book of or part of Genesis this past Sunday. We're going to be going through multiple books in this Torah, Torah, Torah 5-week series. But so this past Sunday through Genesis, really just kind of an entire sermon where he wanted us to focus our attention and perspective more so on it being the call of God and how, you know, this book is really a message of hope, despite, you know, a lot of things that can be perceived as negative things happening within this book, or, you know, things that it pertain to, anything of negative connotation. So mm-hmm. I appreciated the history that was brought to us. I cannot quote everything in terms of the history because, listen, there was a lot of history involved, which is great because I feel like it allows for us to better understand the basis of this.
Yeah.
But I did appreciate, though, a lot of the new perspective on when reading Genesis, because normally we kind of look at it as like, okay, God created heaven and the earth. Like, that's kind of like what most people think of when it comes to Genesis.
That's what I thought of before I heard this sermon.
Yeah. And so it's nice to have, like I said, that new perspective and all that. But what did you guys, did you guys have any takeaways in terms of things that stood out to you? Anything you want to share in terms of your excitement for this new sermon series?
So I have something, and that's, I feel really inspired now to, read the book of Genesis. And, it was just a lot of great information that, Pastor Jim had in this sermon. I thought it was very fascinating. I think the things that stood out to me were, the fact that there's like kind of different, like sagas, so to speak, in Genesis. It's yeah. Like you have, like this, the sovereign God, and then you have,
The embraced call of God, the conflicted call of God, and then the hidden call of God.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. And it kind of, allows me to approach Genesis with that in mind, like not just like blurring it all together, like what my initial impression of Genesis was, like thinking that God created the heavens and the earth. And then like there's just a bunch of stories or whatever. Now I kind of have like a perspective on it, which is so cool. And I didn't realize that Joseph was part of Genesis, that story. That's very fascinating. And then the other thing is how there's like different writers of Genesis. That was really cool that Pastor Jim shared that. And that really explains quite well the inconsistencies or contradictions between some of the things, like the two creation stories and then like the different, whether it was two by two or like seven animals, I think it was for the ark. Yeah. So I think that's really interesting. And I love how like you have those types of things, like we're going in to the Bible and we're trying to understand what the Bible is telling us. And I really like that perspective. And I feel like I really got that from what Pastor Jim was saying. So like having different writers really explains that. It's like, so you have Yahweh and then you have Elohim and then you have the other like ways in which God is portrayed. I thought that is just really, really cool. And particularly like the fact that you have Yahweh and Elohim, but then it makes me think about like how Lord or the YHWH or the I don't know how to pronounce it. Like, is it the Tetragrammaton, or maybe I'm totally mispronouncing it? But it's like it makes me really interested in kind of looking at like how like God's name is like. I know the translations it kind of gets confusing and complicated and stuff like that. And I know there's like a big like story behind that. And so I like that Pastor Jim brought that up about the Yahweh and Elohim and then the other like portray, the references to God.
The yeah. Priestly, the Deuteronomist, and then the Redactor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So yeah, there was a point in time where I was kind of looking into that more, but now it makes me want to take a look at that again. But yeah, the last point is, yeah, I just, I kind of want to just go into the book of Genesis and kind of go in with a fresh eyes or fresh ears if I'm listening to it. And just see what my first impression is going through all those books, because I admit, I don't think I've gone cover to cover on every single one of those books. So I think that'll be like a new chapter in my spiritual journey.
If literally.
Literally, yeah.
Several chapters in your
spiritual journey. Very many chapters.
I know, I feel like it's like hard to read some of the Old Testament because you're like, yeah, this doesn't really apply to me somehow. Like,
right.
It's like, I'm not gonna not cut my hair and I'm not gonna braid my hair and I'm not gonna, you know, I think
you
look at all of the things that's referenced or spoken about. And so I am really excited to hear about the deep dive in this sermon series with these Old Testament books, like where he's going to go with it and in the perspective that we can kind of look at, because it, like I said, it was refreshing to hear that Genesis, you know, there's stories of hope that we can look at. Cause I know a lot of us might be feeling like we are experiencing, you know, maybe a climate of, you know, a lot of fear and a lot of just, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. But to remember that there are people who have survived things and there are people who have gone through, you know, situations and we could read those stories and find hope in them. So that's, it's kind of nice to be able to see that. So
that's great.
Really excited about our next one, which is, I think it's going to be,
Exodus,
and then we're gonna dive into Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy.
Yeah, wow,
First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles.
What? Is this like a jingle that I don't know about?
Job, Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel,
wow.
Daniel, Hosea, Job, Amos, Obadiah. Okay.
That is amazing. I'm going to have to learn that song.
I'm like a Nahum.
Beth auditioned to be a co-host for Methodist to the Madness, and this was
this is part of her audition. Yeah,
she won't tell anybody, but heard that from our rival church. I'm just kidding. It's not a rival church, but I did learn that when I was attending the church across the street. When my kids were doing Awana and I was helping them learn the books of the Bible, did they learn them? I don't think so, but I did. Jokes on them. I don't know.
That's a lot better than 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31.
I don't even think of that. I just know. Give me any. I just know. Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. Very June, nice.
30 days. September, 30 days. August, 31 days.
That's excellent.
Although our super fan, Kathany Ankeny, and my mom both share September 30th as their birthdays. So, and my brother was born August 31st. So that's why I'm super sure on those.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That's excellent. It's like secret information or something. You don't have to use the song. You already got the information encoded.
I wish it was my birthday, because whenever I tell anybody that my mom's birthday or my brother's birthday is the end of September or August, and they'll say, what day? And then I'll tell them, and they're like, oh, you really did mean the end of.
You know what? Oh, my gosh. You know what, Beth? That reminds me of there was a point in time where I needed to walk to work at my previous job. And I approached an area that had basically a dead end, right? So I saw a sign that said dead end, but you could keep walking. But then there was a sign that said end. So there was a dead end and then the end. So from that moment on, I understood what it meant, dead end and end. I
mean, is that what's going to happen on our like way to heaven? Is it's going to say like, this is the dead's end? And then you get to the gates and it's like end. are we not reading into something more than we, I mean, anyway.
Wow. That now it has even more significance for me, Jessica. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, what would happen if there was like a secret like lever somewhere, you know? End.
But the secret lever, instead of like when you open it, it goes down, the secret lever opens up, like,
yeah,
box, oh, whatever, sucks, yeah, up,
exactly,
like in the TV show Ghosts.
Yes.
Yes,
that is very,
that shows
very
really
thought-provoking. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't have as much insight as you two because I watched it while I was making dinner and my steaks were really loud cooking on the frying pans.
It was like,
and so I was trying to listen, but my audio was too low. But one thing I wanted to share was that Genesis has always had kind of a special place in my heart, because that's actually one of the first books that I actually read on my own, like books of the Bible. I mean,
wow.
Because I think somebody told me that it might have been my dad, or yeah, I think it was probably my dad told me that it was a story in the Bible. And when I found the story on my own without any help from anybody in Genesis, just looking it up, I was really excited. And so I did know the Joseph and what was it called in the Bible? His Technicolor dream coat?
Yeah, Technicolor dream coat.
I've been a fan of that musical since I was a kid.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's incredible. That's, yes. I think we all took away so much amazing insight to this
sermon. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Before we jump into prayer requests, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't saying something completely wrong, because I've done that before. And for those of you who've gone through the podcast, maybe or maybe not, I might have said something wrong. I don't know. But so I looked up YHWH in DuckDuckGo, and there's Duck Assist. I guess it's like an AI summary kind of thing going on, from referencing different websites for Christianity and all. And it says that YHWH, also known as the Tetragrammaton, is the four-letter Hebrew name for God in the Bible, representing his eternal and self-sufficient nature. It is often associated with the phrase "I am," as revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus. Mm. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Wow.
Look at that. I feel like we all learned something new.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly am never going to think of dead end and end the same way again.
No. Is that how they came up with the game Tetris? Was the Tetra... Say it again. What is it, Tim?
I muted myself. Tetragrammaton.
Is that where they came up with the game Tetris, maybe?
Yeah, you know, that's really exciting. Maybe I see Tetris in a totally new significance now, too. Wow.
Well, speaking of significance, anything significant that you guys need prayer requests for?
Yes.
Lay it on us.
Just vaguely. That's what I would like a prayer request for.
Gestures vaguely.
I just gestured vaguely to the.
Oh, okay. Gesture.
I feel like you're saying like an uncle.
Everything. That's what I'm saying.
it almost seemed like it was somebody's name. Can you pray for Gesture Vaguely?
My favorite band, Gesture Vaguely.
Gesture Vaguely. Yeah.
Gesture.
That honestly seems like it could be like a username for like some sort of video game now. Gesture Vaguely.
And it's like, oh, I'm Gesture Vaguely and welcome to, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I can go ahead and jump in really quick.
That was so, my pray for everyone and everything.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That's all the brain space I have.
Okay.
That's
we'll
good.
Take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I continued prayers for my friend Rye, still in the care facility, and he and I'll have to update you all when I have a chance to go see him at that facility, but also we were planning on going to some kind of restaurant or something, and that'll be really nice. I guess a prayer for me to, not even sure what I'm trying to do. Oh, yeah. A prayer for me to like go forward with some sort of plan for Lent. So I'm thinking about quitting social media for Lent. And I think I might be able to do that. I don't actually go on Facebook or anything really, but I do go on YouTube and Reddit way too much. And so a prayer for me to just kind of prayerfully reflect on this and see if I can kind of go with that, or maybe even extend it into something even more. Like I was thinking about not playing video games anymore by myself and read books instead. And it's going to take me an extra like amount of courage to do that, I think. The social media is kind of like the low hanging fruit. Like that's definitely going to help me right off the bat.
No but pun like, intended with the Genesis talk.
Yeah.
Really, one fruit won't hurt you, said the snake.
Oh my gosh. I see. Well, yeah, hey, you know, that's a perfect entrance into Genesis right there. Excellent.
I'm going to see what the, you know, the climate of the world is like come Lent, because I might need to, I don't know.
Take a break from social media?
Oh, yeah, probably. But also, I need to be careful on what I give up, because I might need it for.
Right, right, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough times right now. But yeah, so actually a prayer for everybody that's going through tough times right now, actually, as well. So that's what I have for my prayers.
What about you, Jessica?
What do you have, Jessica?
Yeah. So, you know, I think I'm 32 weeks pregnant, and every week we record this podcast, I will say a number that's higher. Now, and then once I get to 40, I'm gonna say this thing better be out. But anyway, I, you know, just continued prayers for this pregnancy. You know, I feel very fortunate, but I you know, I am walking a little bit slower. Things are getting a little bit more difficult. And I think a lot of people who have either experienced pregnancy or have been in a situation where your mobility or abilities are become limited due to something, whether it's like an injury or illness or something else, I think naturally you feel bad that you're not able to contribute as much, and that you don't want to put all of the work on other people. And even right now, like my brain capacity, I feel like I'm like, I have no idea what I was thinking doing this, like just random things. So I think just for my own mental health, like just prayers for that I continue to remind myself that I can give myself grace, and and to continue establishing those boundaries.
All right. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's like probably my biggest prayer is that. Is just really patience, grace, and are we there yet?
Yeah, absolutely, Jessica.
So
thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for sharing, Beth.
Thank you for sharing, Tim.
Oh, thank you. Thank yous all around.
Next up. Stay mad, you Methodists.
We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness.